Do you make a great plan and then never follow through? Do you let yourself off the hook too quickly on those plans? One reason might be that you can't distinguish between good reasons and excuses. So this episode is for you. Hi, I'm Misty Winkler, author of Simplified Organization, Learn to Love What Must Be Done, and homeschooling mom of five with two graduates, two high schoolers, and a middle schooler. Besides writing and podcasting, I also run a private community called Convivial Circle that helps women to excel at homemaking and do life cheerfully. Inside Convivial Circle, I go live once a week and talk for about 30 minutes on some topic relevant to our lives as moms, improving our skills and organizing our attitudes. And today I wanted to share a clip. This is just half of one such seminar that the ladies inside Convivial Circle said was so helpful. It's a little bit of a tough love talk. So put on your big girl pants, grab a basket of laundry to fold, and let's dig in. Because it really is hard to know sometimes if we are letting ourselves off the hook, if we are giving ourselves excuses, or if our reasons are valid. Are the reasons that we have for not doing what we said we were going to do real valid reasons that we are wise to just adjust? Or are we making excuses for ourselves? There is no hard and fast answer that like anyone, and especially sometimes ourselves, can look at it and just say, like, always, this is always an excuse, or this is never an excuse. It takes a lot of self-awareness, and that's what's tricky. And I think that sometimes we evade thinking about things because we don't want that self-awareness, right? Sometimes our reasons sound a lot more valid, sometimes even noble, if we don't think about them too hard. And so I think that one of the best ways to decide if your reasons are excuses or not is to brain dump and pray about it and see what happens. We're talking about something that we should be doing, or we think we should be doing, we thought we should have been doing, we made a commitment or a plan to do something, right? We have our routines, we have our weight loss plan, we have our exercise plan, we have our school plan, and then we don't do the plan. And our minds are always ever eager to fill in the reasons. And just because our brains give us reasons for what we want to do doesn't mean we have to believe them. We shouldn't just automatically believe our default thought process. We need to practice self-awareness and questioning and thinking, and not just assume that our initial thoughts or our initial emotions are leading us in the right direction. So there are perfectly valid, good, and wise reasons to change plans, to not follow a plan. But not every reason that we have is valid or wise or good. And the only way to tell the difference is to think about it and be honest with ourselves about it. Being able to think about something with reflection and honesty is very much helped by the brain dump. where instead of keeping it in your head, you put it onto paper and you can see the thoughts instead of just letting them roll and letting them churn emotion. It makes them a little bit more objective, a little bit less personal to see them on paper, and it helps our brain think about it rather than just hold on to it. And what you're thinking when you are assessing your situation and what direction you need to go. So let's use tired as an example. So I'm too tired to do the dishes. I'm too tired to do the laundry. I'm too tired to do the school day, whichever thing is next on your plan to do. And you're saying, I'm too tired to do the next thing. Then what are you going to do with that? If you're tired and you're choosing to not do X, what is Y that you are doing instead? You're saying no to something in order to say yes to something else. And what is the yes that you are choosing instead? Bad yeses would be self-pity, just zoning out in some kind of escapist form, which that could be your phone, that could be TV, but it doesn't mean every time you use your phone or every time you watch TV, it's necessarily escapist, right? We have to just be aware and honest and assess where we're at. Are we choosing to ignore our lives? It's just, I can't even think about it. And then we're choosing something that's really not restful. It's just deconnecting, disconnecting. That is actually an indication that we need to figure out what's going on. And it's okay to be legitimately tired. That means that we should probably be resting more and like real rest that's actually refreshing. And there are times it's when you're sick, it's you can't do as much. You have to adjust the plan and you have to adjust your expectations. You need to sleep more. If you don't get a good night of sleep, like that should influence your expectations for yourself and the day. And we need to be building in realistic breaks. And so restful routines has a lot on that kind of setting up our daily patterns. If you really need to work on that, you might just listen through the restful routines lesson. Yeah, that's true. Joanna says that I get embarrassed when I see the excuses written out, which is motivating in its own way. That's especially hard when, like me, you make overambitious plans. It's like, if I just make it a habit of an overambitious plan that's totally impossible to do 100%, I can do 70%. 70% is still really productive, but I get to be off the hook for whichever 30% I'm avoiding. And like at some point, what I'm avoiding, I just have to actually make the top thing. But this is where reviews are super helpful because it really comes down to self-awareness. And when we take the time to look over our plan every evening and set the agenda for the next day, or do that in the morning, whichever works best, and then do the weekly review and look back over and then make a plan for the next week, those are times that we have to be honest with ourselves. We should assume we're making excuses, or we don't want to confront our excuses if we are avoiding those reviews. That could be one reason you're avoiding your weekly review or an evening review, is that you don't want to be honest about how you're actually spending your time or how you're responding to your plan, how you're making your plan in the first place. And we just often have years of not expecting ourselves to follow our plans. And so it's going to take work and discomfort to get over a hurdle that we've never actually jumped before. And it takes strength to make a reasonable plan and then follow through on it. It takes training. It takes practice. It takes iterating both the making of the plan and the doing of the plan and the iteration of the plan and adjusting on the fly, all of that takes strength, requires muscle in a way, as a metaphor, that we haven't worked. Then we feel discomfort when we work on either or both of those ends of our plan, and our brain immediately sends up like flares, like warning lights. And we have to determine, am I panicking just because I'm just not used to this, but I'm practicing, I'm going to get better, I'm going to increase my skill and stamina, but I have to work through this? Or is the panic and warning lights all going off because I actually have a fever and shouldn't be, like, this is just not realistic. This isn't where I'm at right now. Or I didn't sleep last night and I'm trying to act as if that doesn't matter. Right? Am I actually taking my real circumstances into account, or am I trying to ignore myself and act like I'm a machine? This goes along with the whole organize your attitude, alignment card statements, to just put the truth in our brains, let it sink into our hearts, is the reality that our default are not necessarily trustworthy. We don't want to function on default mode only. Discipline, maturity, sanctification, growth, all of these things take self-control, self-possession, and pushing through the default and not listening to our default, but assessing, examining whether or not our default response is aligned to truth. And when it isn't, to bring it into conformity with truth. But we always want to be asking ourselves, is it true? I feel tired. Is that true? Why am I tired? It's like, oh, it's because I didn't sleep well last night. Oh, that makes sense. Maybe I should take a little bit of extra magnesium tonight so I can sleep better. Maybe I'll do a plan B dinner tonight. But I also know that I'm, you know, going to... So I guess here's the other thing. If the reason is telling you that you can do something that you probably shouldn't do, then it's probably an excuse. So I'm tired, I'm just going to eat potato chips for dinner, right? It's like, really? That wouldn't actually help you if you were really tired. That's not going to help you be not tired. That's actually going to make your problem worse. We have to be able to engage the grown-up parent side of ourselves and talk to the toddler. And so another helpful criteria might just be taking your default thoughts and, instead of yourself in the situation, picture your kid in the situation, and how would you answer them if they came to you with these things? If they said, Mom, I'm too tired to do my math, what would you say? Like, why are you tired? Well, like, this is something we need to fix then, right? And if you're too tired to do it today, you're just going to have more to do tomorrow. So do you really want to do that? Is that the decision? Is that the best decision? We all know the kid who comes in the afternoon and says, Mom, I'm hungry. I'm so hungry that I just have to have chocolate. Those two don't actually go together, right? So when your kid comes in the afternoon and says, Mom, I'm hungry, you say, what did you have for lunch? Why? What have you been doing? Maybe they're doing sports. Like, maybe there is actually a reason that they are hungry in between meals. And so you say, okay, you can have a banana, you can have a cheese stick. And I say, no, I just want to eat potato chips, chocolate. I don't actually want to eat food that will make me not hungry anymore. I actually am just wanting a treat. So the hunger in that case is an excuse So is your reason an open door to doing something that was actually irresponsible, right? If you're too tired for math, you are too tired for computer games as well. Yes. Or then maybe you need a nap. And it's so much easier to give that right mother response when it's someone else's problem than our own. But we tend to believe our own versions of these things. And when we are parenting our own kids, as they give us reasons for not doing their math, for being on the computer when they shouldn't have been, for wanting food when it's not mealtime, for skipping their chore time, we hold the line with consequences. And that's really hard to do for ourselves, right? Especially when we are moms at home, homemakers, homeschooling moms. Like, there is no job on the line. We're not going to lose our job if we have a bad day. And we're not going to lose our job if we get behind. We are often shooting our own selves in the foot. And it's, we don't even know, we don't have the ability not to without some kind of external pressure, right? We don't have a mom standing over us telling us to get our act together. And so that's where recognizing the long-term consequences is the grown-up thing to do. And having that vision that we actually have hope for. I think a lot of the times we buy our own excuses because we actually don't have hope that it's going to be better. Right? Most of the time that I buy my excuses for not following my food plan or my exercise plan, one day's not going to really make a difference because, hey, I've been trying things for years and nothing's actually made a difference. So not following it today is not going to make a difference. And then that makes it super easy to buy the excuses, right? This is why kids with math will say, but I'm never going to use algebra again. This isn't going to make any difference in my life. It's the same. So I say, okay, in this situation, am I behaving like a grown-up or am I behaving like a 12-year-old who says, who basically, the 12-year-old who always has all the logical questions and reasons for not doing the right thing, who wants to argue every point. I was like, I don't want to be a spiritual 12-year-old, always arguing and being able to get out of as much as possible. That's not the way I want to live. That's not who I want to be. So I need to recognize when I'm doing that so I can repent and rejoice and move forward. That's instead of needing every single right thing to do to be defended and proven to me to definitely work out the way I want it to work out. Needing that guarantee at the end, or I'm not going to be motivated to do it. It's like, how about just trusting? Like, and you have to ask, who are you trusting? Scripture says that older women are to teach the younger women. And it's the same kind of thing where I would never would have, of my own accord, prioritized making my bed. But I kept coming back to that because no matter if you're doing organization, productivity, homemaking, everyone says to make your bed. And I'm like, fine, you know what? I have to stop arguing and just believe. Because it's like all these people are saying it. Like, who's most likely wrong? All of them or me? And then with the bed making habit, right? I had all these reasons that making bed wasn't my thing, wasn't something I cared about. I didn't think it made a difference. All these things. It's just a worthless waste of time. These are my reasons. These are my excuses. And the only effective way to lose those excuses, to silence them, was to replace them. Not just to ignore them or stuff them or even just to disobey them. Because for a time, I kept my excuses in my head and rehearsed them in my head while doing the thing. So it's like making my bed in my mind, grumbling, saying, I guess I'll try it, but this is just a stupid waste of time, acting like a 12-year-old. So I had to finally replace my excuses with the truth, which was actually, so making my bed is a good place to start for being responsible in the morning because it's easy. It makes a big visible difference. The bedroom does look nicer with just the bed made, even if I don't spend any other time doing anything. And I changed the story. And we have to do that with our excuses also. We have to notice when our excuses are just a part of a bad story that we're telling. And instead of just telling ourselves no, or doing the thing with all our excuses still held in our hearts and minds, we have to actually, like, repenting means turning from, turning the other direction. We need to replace them with the truth. We have to be filling our minds with the true version of our lives, of our responsibilities, and say, you know what, it actually is going to make a difference. I might not see it now. It's going to take a while before I notice a difference. But I trust these women who've gone before me. No excuses. Boils down to noticing, figuring out where our narratives are wrong, and changing them to the truth. So it comes down to self-awareness, brain dumping with prayer.
It was actually so hard to cut this seminar down to half the length. If you are already in, or if you join Convivial Circle, you can find the whole 35-minute talk inside the member-only podcast. It's called Excuses Sound Like Reasons. And if you need some more tough love like this in your life, then you belong with us inside Convivial Circle. Convivial Circle is full of courses that will help you increase your skill as a homemaker. It's full of meaningful discussion with hundreds of like-minded women on the same mission as you. And it's all private, not on Facebook. No ads, no algorithm, just help so that you can learn to love your life as a mom at home. You can go to simplyconvivial.com and click the green enroll button to get started. You can go to simplyconvivial.com and click the green enroll button in the top corner to get started with us today. We will together repent, rejoice, repeat.